churning waters, humpback whales, and orcas.
There's an ocean where giants gather to feast. Where people battle the planet's roughest seas. It stretches nearly 10,000 miles from Arctic to Antarctic.
Two battling sea lions.
From tropical shallows to mysterious depths.
People peering through the windows of submersibles.
It's an ocean of extremes. Engine room for storms 1,000 miles across. It also a sanctuary for the vulnerable. People and animals brave this unpredictable ocean, risking it all for rich rewards. This is the Atlantic, the wildest ocean on Earth.
An enormous wave crashing down. BBC Atlantic. Narrated by Killian Murphy.
The Caribbean, the Atlantic's sun-drenched paradise.
A dazzling sun filtered through clear water and a school of dolphins swimming by.
Its warm, shallow waters offer shelter and plenty of food.
Shifting patterns of light play across the dolphins' backs as they glide just beneath the surface.
A perfect place for this 2-year-old Atlantic spotted dolphin to grow up.
He's swimming with a parent.
The seas around him are bursting with life.
A shoal of fish, then a manatee or a sea cow floating past.
It's the richest corner of the Atlantic. But paradise comes at a cost.
A dense mass of fish suddenly scatter in many directions as a much larger fish darts into their midst.
Over the next 9 months, the sun's energy will push life here to its limits. Caribbean heaven will soon turn to hell.
Destructive waves, dolphins swimming in heavy water, and broken coral rolling along. From heaven to hell. Sunlight shining on calm waters.
The sun is the tropical Atlantic's engine.
On a computer graphic of the Earth, the sun is reflected on the waters of the Atlantic as the globe spins.
It heats the ocean from the coast of Africa right across to the Caribbean, 3,000 miles away.
Flying over the sea to a Caribbean island.
Here, there are huge expanses of shallow, crystal clear sea.
Azure shallows and sandy beaches lined with palm trees. Smaller islands, densely forested, then a shoal of fish.
There are coral reefs, meadows of seagrass, and mangrove forests. There's a wider variety of marine life here than anywhere else in the Atlantic.
A man paddles a boat across a lagoon.
Living here can bring rich rewards.
Sunlight glinting through lush foliage overhead.
Right now, it's February, the Caribbean's coolest month. Even so, these shallows off the Bahamas are a balmy 23 degrees and the water's full of sound.
Shafts of sunlight penetrating crystal clear waters. A sandy seabed.
The chatter of Atlantic spotted dolphins.
Two of them break the surface as they swim.
It's a safe refuge for them. The deeper waters are patrolled by sharks.
One dolphin briefly leaps out of the water before rejoining its companions.
Dolphins are highly social. They play together and hunt together in tight-knit groups, sometimes 50 strong.
Several swim along together.
These two mothers have teamed up so their calves can play and learn from each other. The calves are still suckling from their mums and yet to fully develop their spots.
The youngsters dive down together.
They've plenty of time to learn the ins and outs of a dolphin's social life.
They cavort on the surface.
They must learn a huge number of complex clicks and whistles. Body language is important too. Play biting helps build social bonds. One of the first ways that young dolphins learn to interact.
They rub their heads together, then separate before swimming downwards once more, touching each other gently with their fins.
Then there's fin rubbing. Scientists compare it to a handshake or a hug.
One dolphin blows air bubbles which float to the surface.
It's all great fun. But they're learning vital lessons.
From the dolphins swimming away to bright sunlight glinting beyond palm fronds. A picturesque beach with white sands.
From February on, the Caribbean gets a little warmer every day. Good news for another marine mammal that simply can't survive without the heat.
A bulky seal-like mammal swimming with lazy movements of its paddle-shaped tail.
A manatee. Distant relative of the elephant. She's 3 meters long and weighs in at almost a ton. But despite her bulk, she has very little blubber to keep her warm. She lives here because the water never drops below 20 degrees. If it did, she'd die. Lots of manatees overwinter in warm river estuaries. Now, as sea temperatures rise, they spread along the Caribbean coast in search of their favorite food, seagrass. It covers huge areas of these shallows, and the warmer and sunnier it gets, the faster it grows. Over the coming months, she'll spend 7 hours a day grazing these marine meadows. It's manatee heaven, for now.
The manatee swims just above the seagrass on the bottom.
Change is on the way. By April, the sun is just a little more intense. A small change with big effects. In the deep water beyond Belize's Barrier Reef, the growing heat triggers a spectacular annual event.
Shimmering waters far below. A large shoal of fish.
Snappers. They've gathered here in this one place for 1 hour for one reason. Snappers are usually solitary and live over 20 meters beneath the surface. Now, a combination of rising temperature, day length, and phase of the moon brings them together in shoals of 10,000 or more. At dusk, the fish rise up towards the surface. The females release their eggs. The males, their sperm. They're here to spawn.
The snappers have gathered into a tight ball, not far from the surface. The fish swim around each other within a dark cloud of sperm and eggs. Some fish break away briefly before returning to the shoal.
They do it at dusk because the fading light makes life harder for predators.
Hundreds of darting fish.
But the snappers haven't gone entirely unnoticed.
Swimming out of the murky gloom, a huge shark appears.
A whale shark. The length and weight of a double-decker bus.
Its dark skin marked with pale spots and stripes, the enormous shark circles around the gathered snappers with graceful swipes of its tail. The fish move aside with hurried motions of their own tails.
But he's not after the snappers.
The shark's mouth opens wide.
He hoovers up their eggs, tens of thousands in each mouthful.
It moves off with languorous flicks of its tail, and the snappers congregate once more. Their dark bodies swimming around one another.
Millions of eggs are lost, but millions more survive. The young will drift on the currents until they find a place of safety. A mangrove forest. Stretching all along the Caribbean coastline, these forests hold a secret. An extraordinary sanctuary hidden beneath the surface.
A tangle of roots stretching down beneath the surface of the water, all the way to the seabed and the shallows along the shoreline. A shoal of small fish swimming above a carpet of seagrass. Many of the roots are covered with colorful sea life.
The roots, draped with anemones, starfish and sponges, form a living barrier. One that bigger predators can't pass. And make this a safe haven, not just for snappers, but for the young of hundreds of species of fish.
Sunlight plays across the seagrass, and a multitude of fish swim in and around the shelter of the roots.
It's an underwater wonderland.
Below the waterline, the complex root system resembles a forest, and the silver fish swim in great numbers amongst the diverse and beautiful ecosystem that inhabits it. Yellow-mouthed fish with brown and white stripes, then roots covered with a sponge-like growth.
These underwater forests are among the richest environments on Earth.
A swirling mass of fish separating, then coming together again. Thick roots hanging from above, like living stalactites.
By providing sheltered nurseries, they form a vital part of the web of life across the Caribbean. Sustaining life in the shallows, the reefs, and the deep sea beyond.
A vast expanse of ocean.
But other forces affect life here. And one of the most powerful has its origins 3,000 miles away in Africa.
The searing sphere of the sun, then desert dunes.
The African sun makes the Sahara Desert one of the hottest places on Earth. It's May, and already the temperature is nearing 40 degrees.
The wind blows clouds of sand from the tops of dunes.
The intense heat fuels powerful winds, which blow out from the desert and west into the Atlantic. The trade winds. They first hit land 400 miles off the African coast in the Cape Verde archipelago.
a solitary man walking along a rocky shoreline.
Desert islands, dominated by the wind.
Garments billowing on clotheslines. Local fishermen preparing to depart in small sailboats.
The people here have an intimate relationship with both wind and sea. They stitch their sails from old plastic sacks. Head fisherman Siver has an instinct for the wind. It's all that stands between a successful trip and disaster.
The sail is most important. It never lets you down. A sail is tied to a mast as several men ready a fishing boat. If the clouds are in pieces, it means there will be wind the next day. When the wind is strong, we use small sails, because small sails catch less wind, so less danger. Two fishing boats with sails raised heading out to sea.
The fishermen sail far out into the Atlantic. Each trip can take a week or more. The men are dependent on the wind. If it fails, they might not get home.
Fishermen bait their lines and drop them over the side of the boat. Soon they're hauling their catch on board, good-sized snappers which flop about on the deck.
After a successful trip, the fishermen turn for home. But the trade winds blow on, driving west across the ocean. As they move, they pick up moisture from the sea below. By May, the sun's heat evaporates billions of tons of water from the ocean's surface every day. Clouds build, and the trade winds sweep them west.
On the world globe, a stretch of white cloud.
When they finally reach the Caribbean, they bring a vital resource to paradise. Rain.
Raindrops creating hundreds of circular ripples.
The rain washes mud from land to sea. And here, the mangrove roots slow the flow, and the sediment settles.
The thick roots of the mangrove trees rising up out of the rain-lashed water.
The mud nourishes the mangroves, and the roots act as a filter, ensuring the waters of the Caribbean remain crystal clear.
From below, the surface of the water is alive with the constant rainfall spattering it into fluctuating patterns. The rain continues to fall.
It's June, and the sun is at its height. The clouds soon burn away.
A white cloud gradually disappears into a blue sky.
Soon, the building heat will test many of the creatures that live here to their limits.
Underwater shafts of sunlight.
But for now, life is good.
Five young dolphins.
Off the Bahamas, adolescent dolphins have formed a group.
One prods at another's belly.
They're getting their first spots, a sign of their newfound independence. Now they've been weaned, they must hunt for themselves. And for dolphins, hunting means teamwork.
A thin, deeply keeled fish.
The group have cornered an unlucky filefish, but they don't plan to eat it. The youngsters take turns to herd the fish, communicating in intense bursts. more than just play, the youngsters are learning to coordinate their movements and work as a unit.
A dolphin snaps at the fish's tail.
Fortunately for the fish, they tire of their game.
They leave the fish alone and are soon playing near the surface, swimming close to one another.
Their ability to work together will be crucial to their survival.
From the young dolphins swimming slowly in clear waters to numerous small islands.
In midsummer, the heat and light drives an explosion of plant life. The seagrass is growing by 3 centimeters a day.
Waving green fronds.
Good news for the manatee.
It drifts down towards the seabed with only a single movement from one of its flippers.
But there are also thick patches of algae growing on her back. Conveniently, she has found a place nearby where she can get a back scrub.
She's lying on the sandy seabed.
Alongside the reef, young parrotfish have set up a cleaning station. The fish get a meal, and she gets cleaned. Now she can go back to the serious business of eating.
The manatee moves on.
The tropical sunlight brings life to everything it touches.
The burning white light of the sun.
In this coastal lagoon in the Bahamas, another animal can't get enough of it.
The umbrella-like shape of a jellyfish, its thin, pale flesh rhythmically undulating.
It may be moving slowly, but this Cassiopeia jellyfish is in a hurry. It's on its way to a sunbathing party. Every day, hundreds of Cassiopeia cluster in the calmest, sunniest spots.
A great number of the jellyfish, apparently hanging upside down, propel themselves down towards the seabed. They cluster around each other, their delicate bodies in constant motion.
These are solar-powered jellyfish.
Purple tentacles swaying in the underwater current.
There are algae that live just beneath their tentacles which feed on the sun. They photosynthesize, and the nutrients they make are food for the Cassiopeia.
Soft, white structures surround the base of the tentacles.
An arrangement that benefits both sides. The jellyfish get free food, the algae get their own mobile greenhouses, guaranteeing them a place in the sun. These jellyfish rarely need to hunt. With bright sunlight and algae on board, they thrive.
A Cassiopeia descends to the bottom, joining several others with their tentacles raised upwards.
And when the sun sets, they will rest ahead of another hard day's sunbathing.
Shafts of sunlight slicing down from above.
As evening falls, the sun loses its power. But at this time of the year, its influence persists far into the night.
Branches reflected on still waters.
After dark, the mangrove lagoons undergo a magical transformation.
A man paddling a small boat.
Something that Clifford, a fisherman from Belize, plans to take advantage of.
There's a second man seated at the rear of the boat, and they repeatedly propel themselves along a narrow channel. The densely packed mangrove trees all around.
In the nighttime,
it will be easier that the fish doesn't see you. You can just sneak up on them.
All day long, an underwater life form here has been harvesting the sun's energy. Now, that energy will be released.
Glowing blue flashes appear in the dark water.
As fish move through the water, they create a light show.
When I saw it the first time, I was really scared that it looked like ghosts whenever the fish there move.
It's not the fish that are glowing. It's something much smaller.
Descending into the blackness beneath the surface, a sudden flash of luminous blue.
Tiny single-celled creatures called dinoflagellates flourish in the rich, warm waters of the mangrove lagoons.
Clifford's paddle trails the luminous glow as it's dragged through the water.
And when they're disturbed, they glow. Bioluminescence.
Clifford casts a net, which also results in the blue glow.
A shock to warn off predators.
Bright flashes like fireflies. Then the outline of four fish caught by the net and, magnified, translucent bioluminescent organisms.
They're charged up by sunlight, so the longer the days, the more intense the glow.
A swimming fish is illuminated by the eerie light.
The bioluminescence is so powerful that Clifford can fish in the dark.
He lands a catch on his boat. Now the glowing water is stirred up by an outboard motor. Clifford and his companion cruise away, a blue gleam left in their wake.
Further out to sea, on the Caribbean's reefs, there's another extraordinary nighttime display, a sign that the sun's power is now pushing the reef's ecosystem into overdrive.
Hundreds of tiny tentacles moving about underwater. They originate from numerous circular polyps, organisms growing on the sides of a reddish coral, each glowing a bright green.
It may not look like it, but this is a coral. Scientists believe its glowing is an equivalent of sunscreen.
The delicate tentacles waving around the polyps, which extend outwards from small orifices in the larger organism's side.
Corals have algae living in their cells. As these photosynthesize, they produce food for the coral.
Orifices contracting and closing.
But too much ultraviolet light can damage them. So the corals protect themselves.
Tentacles extending.
A special protein absorbs the ultraviolet light and re-emits light of another color. By day, the sun is too bright for this to be visible.
A chain reaction of green lights.
But shining blue light on the corals at night shows their fluorescent response.
Each light is a glowing tendril. A strange organic structure, brightly lit from within by a luminescent green, ripples and grows. A mouth, an elongated hole, opens in the structure's layered wall, with only a gaping black beyond.
It's a much-needed defense mechanism when there is no escape from the midsummer sun.
The branch-like nature of the glowing organism, then, rising up to the ocean's surface. The air is filled with water droplets, and the sun hangs low on the horizon. Diving down again to a coral reef.
It's now August. Water temperatures have hit 29 degrees.
Plant-like animals.
Many creatures seek refuge in the shade.
Countless small fish diving down into a wide, dark fissure.
In Grand Cayman, Millions of silversides gather in caves under the reef.
An enormous shifting column of the fish. Flashes of light reflected on individual fish, then a great flow of silverside swimming over the edge of a rocky outcrop. Bordered by the black mouth of a cave, the swirling mass in motion with the blue light from the surface behind them. A sudden surge of fish moving in unison, as if startled.
There's safety in numbers.
Light penetrating the cave, illuminating the vast shoal.
But danger lurks here in the dark.
The gentle flow of passing fish is interrupted by sudden explosions of high-speed movement. A dark shape swims among them.
A monster. The length of a man, with a ravenous appetite.
A dorsal fin and a long, sweeping tail. Fast-moving silversides, then a much larger fish attacks at high speed. The little silver fish scatter as it rockets into them.
A tarpon.
It's a fearsome-looking fish with large eyes, a prominent lower jaw, and shiny, silvery scales that cover most of its body.
He has explosive acceleration, hitting up to 40 miles per hour. His cavernous jaws create a suction effect when he strikes. He swallows his prey whole.
The tarpon glides towards the cave mouth.
As more silversides enter the cave, more tarpon gather.
A steady stream of silversides swimming by in vast numbers, and the dark, silhouetted shapes of the slower-moving tarpon. The little fish part and move aside as the menacing-looking predators approach.
This seasonal feast is just too good to miss.
There are about 10 tarpon now, and they're all swimming quite slowly. Suddenly, with a powerful flick of its tail, one of them makes a dash towards the silversides. Another attack, the smaller fish evading quickly. A curtain of silversides parts as a tarpon cruises forward. The sun shining beyond the surface, and many thousands of fish changing direction to swim around a marauding tarpon. Next, the green fronds of a palm leaf gently waving in the wind, and clear waters rolling onto a sunny shoreline.
Heat is building in the water, and temperatures are rising in the dolphin community too.
Traveling alongside two members of a pod that are swimming just beneath the surface.
This calf is trying to stick close to his mother. She's an oestrus and has attracted the attention of an eager and persistent male. Turning belly up and blowing bubbles signals his excitement, but she's not interested. Avoiding a single male is relatively easy, but groups working together are another matter entirely.
The young male swims along upside down. Then more dolphins arrive on the scene.
Males from another group are on the hunt for a mate.
They're hounding a solitary female. And she dives down to the seabed.
They're an established team, constantly communicating. Their target is a lone female. She tries to fend them off, but they're undeterred. Pinning her to the seabed, they use their echolocation to examine her and see if she's ready to mate. The noise alerts another group of males. They also want access to the female. And they're ready to fight for it.
A minor scuffle. Dolphins swimming around each other, some of them touching heads.
The groups bombard each other with a deafening barrage of sound.
About 10 dolphins floating with their heads close to each other.
The sounds normally used to stick together now become an intimidating weapon. Their head-to-head body postures and open mouths all signal aggression.
The group continue their brawling. One dolphin opens his mouth as he calls to the others. All but stationary, they gather just above the sandy bottom, and two of them prod at each other with their mouths. Then a number of dolphins break away from the main group.
These encounters can escalate into violence, but this time, the intruders back off.
Harried by their rivals, three of the dolphins swim upside down, then rejoin the others, who all make their way to the surface.
The calf watches and learns. He's growing up in a dangerous world.
The dolphins swim off. Next, white-hot flares erupting from the sun. Shallow seas.
It's the end of August. The sea is at its hottest. On the reefs, the rising heat is now putting life under serious pressure.
Flying over a reef.
Corals are very sensitive. If summer water temperatures rise just 1 degree above average, it can have catastrophic effects.
Coral with a tree-like structure, appendages similar to branches held up towards the sunlight. The flat top of some coral bleached white.
The growing heat drives the corals to eject the symbiotic algae that normally feed them.
Slender tentacles being withdrawn.
Without their algae, the corals lose their primary source of food, and in just a few days, they turn white.
The tentacles slowly cease their activity as the coral's red color fades to white.
If the temperatures stay too high for too long, the corals will die.
The tentacles have retreated inside the circular orifices.
And the animals that rely on them will lose their food and shelter.
Coral silhouetted by the shining sun, then air bubbles rising upwards.
The sun, once the engine of life, now threatens to destroy it. The whole of the tropical Atlantic now balances on a knife edge.
The globe of the Earth.
And 3,000 miles to the east, a catastrophic event is building.
Churning white waters.
And Cape Verde off the coast of Africa. Hot winds from the Sahara are whipping the sea into a frenzy.
Foreboding dark clouds and waves rolling onto a rocky shoreline. A small sailboat being tossed about.
The favorable conditions Severe and his men rely upon are changing. Water evaporating from the warm sea generates turbulence in the Saharan winds.
Heavy swells peaked with white.
These are dangerous conditions.
When there is too much wind, we have to stay ashore. It's difficult here.
Siver makes the decision to turn back. He knows what's coming.
Another crashing wave.
A tropical storm is brewing.
Huge waves rolling towards vertical sea cliffs.
The fishermen have packed up their boats. Storms blow over quickly here because the trade winds blow them on across the Atlantic. But as they travel, some storms grow into monsters. A chain reaction begins. The hot waters and winds combine to drive a constant cycle of convection. Warm air rises from the sea, lifting moisture to create vast banks of cloud. More air is sucked in below, and a vortex begins to form.
Moving satellite images.
The storm roars across the ocean, growing stronger with every mile.
A violent disturbance below the water.
When the winds reach 74 miles an hour, this storm finally earns a new name. A hurricane is born. An unstoppable force of nature. With the Caribbean right in its path. The countdown to destruction has begun. Animals and corals, already close to breaking point from the rising heat, will soon face a violent and deadly assault. The warm seas that nursed them through the first part of the year now fuel the storm that threatens them.
Dolphins swimming together.
Everything is about to change.
White seas near the coast.
36 hours before impact, the first signs of a coming hurricane appear.
White water breaking over jagged rocks.
Ocean swells roll across the once tranquil sea.
Red flags fluttering.
An official hurricane warning is issued. With 24 hours to go, winds hit 35 miles an hour. The dolphins seek refuge in deeper water. Survival depends on sticking together. This is when their ability to communicate will really count.
They glide beneath the swells. On shore, a tarpaulin flapping in the wind and people staring through a window.
On land, those unable to evacuate must batten down the hatches and wait.
A gigantic wave breaking.
12 hours before landfall, huge walls of thunderstorms bring intense bands of rain. Winds now gust to over 70 miles an hour. They batter the mangroves. A rising surge of water, driven onshore by the wind, engulfs the coastline.
Coral breaks away from a reef and rolls away.
The sea is an impenetrable murk. At their peak, winds can hit 120 miles an hour. The relentless power of the sun has turned paradise into hell.
Water slamming against a seafront and rising high into the air. The hurricane has now passed, and a battered mobile home lies tilted at an angle. The ruins of a wooden-framed two-story house, large sections of wall missing, much of its interior exposed to the elements.
Hurricanes are one of the deadliest natural forces on the planet. On land, they destroy property, but people can seek refuge.
From another damaged building, its roof missing, to the surface of the ocean.
Animals at sea have no protection at all.
A solitary dolphin.
Hurricanes can break up dolphin groups, leaving stragglers lost and vulnerable. Alone, a young calf is easy prey for sharks.
Fallen trees.
The mangrove forests bore the full brunt of the storm. Their life-giving sediments are violently churned.
Beneath the surface, visibility is poor.
The turbid water appears lifeless.
Some mangrove roots are still dangling down into the murky waters. Above the surface, the nose of a manatee appears.
But the roots make the mangroves a safe haven.
Having taken on some air, the manatee dives down.
Manatees head deep into the mangroves during hurricanes, knowing they will find safety.
Clouds of sediment are churned up by the animal's tail and flippers as it swims along slowly. It's accompanied by two small fish that stay close to the side and belly of the large animal. Another fish propels itself through the water beneath vivid shafts of sunlight, the mangrove roots visible in the distance.
The trees act like a living crumble zone. The roots dissipate the destructive energy better than any seawall. They calm the waves and tame the surge. The mangroves are the Caribbean's storm shelter.
Dozens of fish.
The roots protect the precious fish nurseries, and in the aftermath, they slow the moving water, allowing sediments to settle and the waters to clear.
A tangle of roots above the surface.
The mangroves don't just protect against hurricanes. They can also benefit from them. The storm surge disperses mangrove seedlings far and wide, and these will take root in clearings in the forest. The sanctuary for the tropical Atlantic will continue to grow.
A sapling with green leaves growing up out of waterlogged ground.
Out on the reef, hurricanes take the energy out of the overloaded system. Some corals are damaged, but the torrential rain cools the waters. The corals will take back their algae. The reef will thrive again.
Fan-like coral gently wafted by a current. Then the lost dolphin calf.
Off the Bahamas, hurricanes have been known to devastate dolphin groups.
The dolphin swims along slowly.
The only way a stranded calf will survive is to reunite with the group.
The youngster opens its mouth to communicate when it's joined by some adults.
Nature has a way of bouncing back. In groups that do lose calves, scientists have found that females come back into estrus more quickly than usual. The result is a baby boom.
The calf swims just below its mother.
It's time for the group to reinforce old bonds.
A dolphin silhouetted by the dazzling sun.
Life in the tropical Atlantic resumes where it left off.
Dolphins gliding by in slow motion. Shoals of little fish near the shelter of the mangroves, and a manatee swimming above some coral.
For now, all is calm in paradise. But soon the heat will build once again. The sun creates opportunities for life, yet it can also bring destruction. All living things here must learn to survive both heaven and hell. The vast opposing forces of this extraordinary ocean, the Atlantic.
Atlantic Diaries. Gliding over a coral reef.
The warm, sun-drenched shallows of the Caribbean Sea are teeming with life.
A diver enters the water.
The Atlantic team spent more than 300 hours underwater all across the Caribbean and met some very special animals. From the tranquil lagoons of Belize to the sandbanks of the Bahamas and the spectacular caves of the Cayman Islands.
A tarpon makes a rush at some silver sides. Then an underwater cameraman films coral by moving his camera along a set of tracks. Coral with a greenish hue.
But to reveal some amazing new discoveries about corals, the team had to turn to science for a new way of looking at the world. Scientists have recently discovered that some corals appear to have a natural sunscreen. And to reveal this in its full technicolor glory, the team had to leave their usual habitat.
Scores of people enjoying the water off a busy beach.
In Miami, the only US city actually built on a coral reef, there's one place where corals are always in the spotlight.
A man turns on a light in a room full of small water tanks, and he examines the coral samples the tanks contain.
Colin Ford is a marine biologist and cameraman with a passion for corals. Just the man to help producer Renee Godfrey get the unique images of these amazing animals that she's hoping for.
And in your photography and filmmaking mm-hmm. of these corals, you're trying to take people really into a
macro universe.
Multicolored coral.
Coral reefs are built by colonies of tiny animals. Colin studies them with lenses that can magnify up to 200 times.
Three scuba divers.
He rescues corals which are threatened by dredging in Miami's waterways and relocates them to protected areas on the city's outskirts.
Having loosened a piece of coral with gentle taps on a knife, Colin carefully places it on a rock.
Colin takes small samples of the city's corals to study how well they cope with pollution and rising temperatures. Some of his work involves a combination of science and photography.
He wears an expression of concentration as he stares at the viewfinder of a camera. Moving images capture gradual changes in the surface composition of some coral. Lumpy, elongated structures slowly contracting.
Corals are mysterious animals. They're mysterious creatures. I see them as the most alien and cosmic of the organisms on the planet, and I find that to be incredibly intriguing.
Circular mounds with green-tinged openings.
Colin uses blue light and zoom lenses with special filters to reveal something that is barely visible to the naked eye and impossible to film in daylight. Now Renee is able to see exactly what she came looking for.
She peers over Colin's shoulder as he focuses his camera on some coral.
Under the blue light, the corals fluoresce.
Waving tentacles.
Pigments in the coral absorb the ultraviolet component of the blue light and re-emit it in different colors. In the wild, it's thought this adaptation protects the coral from the sun's damaging ultraviolet rays.
Oh, they really have opened up, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
The corals put out tiny tentacles to catch food from the water. And with time-lapse photography, the crew make the images even more revealing.
Tentacled polyps emerging from circular orifices with green glowing light at their centers.
The coral is almost working on a different time scale than the human time scale. You know, everything's much slower for a coral. Working in a laboratory, we can film for a long period of time and then speed up. So you start to see the way that the coral, you can see the mouth eating and moving. You look at them and they don't look like they're very animate, but once you stop and sort of observe them, you realize just how alive corals are.
Just the most amazing colors.
It's really wow.
Hundreds of waving green tentacles.
Renee has got the shots she came for, revealing the coral's extraordinary adaptation for coping with the tropical sun. But for Colin, filming these beautiful images is part of a wider mission.
Like a living roadmap, a network of luminous green.
You're showing corals in an incredibly artistic way.
Yes. On the one hand, we just want the corals to be able to present themselves. You know, corals are these living art forms. The natural beauty of these corals can sell themselves to the public as to, you know, why should we care about the coral reefs? Perhaps you've never been able to get so close to a coral in a well. Look at these beautiful organisms.
A tentacled polyp slowly emerging from a circular orifice in the side of a coral. Then a colony of spider-like organisms.
Specialist photography is helping us to learn more and more about these extraordinary life forms.
Neon green tentacled polyps expanding outwards.
With passionate people like Colin on their side, these cosmic corals of the Atlantic may have a bright future with no end to what his camera might reveal.
Beautiful, mesmerizing patterns that appear like exploding fireworks captured in slow motion or the burning embers of a fire. The corals are a kaleidoscope of color.